The following was originally broadcast on the Global Voices technology show, Innovations. For more information about the Global Voice, visit their website at www.theglobalvoice.info. That's the Global Voice, all one word, .info. Hello everyone, this is Kelly Sapergia from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, Canada for Innovations, and today I'm here to demonstrate JSONAR, a set of free JAWS scripts available from www.jsonar.org, that's JSONAR.org, that allow you to compose and produce your own music using Sonar, Cakewalk's powerful digital audio workstation software. There are two versions of Sonar available: the Producer Edition, which includes all sorts of plugins such as software synthesizers, audio effects, etc., and the Studio Edition, which has most but not all of the content in the Producer Edition. And you can find more information about these editions of Sonar at Cakewalk's website, www.cakewalk.com. That's CAKEWALK.com. Regardless of which version of Sonar you go for, I strongly recommend having a relatively new system with at least a gig or more of memory and lots of hard drive space. In fact, I recommend having two hard drives if possible, one for the program and content, and another for saving your files, especially if you get into doing audio work, as they can get fairly big. Since Sonar can be used as a MIDI sequencer, you'll need a MIDI-compatible keyboard. Depending on the manufacturer of the keyboard, you may have to hook it up to your computer in a certain way. For instance, some keyboards include a USB port, while others require a MIDI cable. In the case of my keyboard, the Roland EXR3S, I have both options. I also recommend getting a good sound card, such as those from M-Audio, that are designed more for composing music rather than games and other applications. Sure, the ones from Creative are okay, but the specialized ones from M-Audio and other companies are better because they don't have what's known as latency issues. They basically take care of the latency using their own hardware. Now, by latency, that means if you press a key on your keyboard and you hear a soft synth play a second or so later. When I was using my Creative Sound Blaster Odyssey card with Sonar, things sounded fine at first, but if I were to load lots of effects or soft synths, then the latency began to get worse. JSonar itself is pretty simple to install, but there's an additional component you'll need. In order to access the majority of soft synths and audio effects that are included with Sonar, JSonar uses what are known as HSC, or Hotspot Clicker Sets. For these to work, you'll need the Hotspot Clicker tool, which is available for free at www.hotspotclicker.org. That's also where you can download additional HSC set files. I recommend installing that first, before installing JSonar. So now that we've discussed the equipment you'll need, let's go into Sonar and see how it works. I'm currently at my desktop, and I'm on the Sonar 8.5 Producer Edition icon. I have my keyboard turned on, and as you can hear, we're on the piano instrument that comes up by default. So I'll press enter to start Sonar.
Enter.
We'll hear a message from JSonar in a bit.
Welcome to JSonar version 8.0. To browse the README file for JSonar, press Jaws key plus F1 plus quickly. To learn about JSonar shortcut keys, press Jaws key plus H. To view the screen sensitive help for a particular view in Sonar, press Jaws key plus F1. For best results with Sonar, you may need to maximize child windows by pressing Alt plus Dash and then pressing the letter X. Untitled start title recorder stop button. Opening project .. 100% done.
Okay, Sonar has loaded, but I'm still in the total recorder window, so I'm going to minimize everything with Windows key M.
Windows M. Desktop.
And then we'll Alt-Tab until we get to the Sonar.
Alt-Tab. Alt-Tab. Sonar 8.5 Pro to the Sonar 1 Prank. Sonar 8.5 Pro to the Sonar 1 Prank.
There we go. Now, currently the normal template has loaded. This is basically a blank file with two tracks. You have an audio track, which we're currently on.
Audio. Name.
And if I down arrow.
Two. MIDI. Empty track. Name.
We'll hear that we're on the MIDI track. And we're on the name column. That's why it's saying audio and MIDI. That's what they're called by default. We could rename them by pressing enter, which I won't do at the moment, and then enter a completely different name, such as, let's say, piano or cool bass, whatever you want for the track. It's a good idea to give them a name so that you know what they are, as opposed to seeing, let's say, track 8, and then trying to figure out, well, what instrument did I have on that track? But that's not what we're going to do at the moment. I'm going to close the template.
Alt F, menu C, leaving menus,
just
no projects.
Alt F to go to the file menu and then C for close. And I have here a file that I've created called TGV demo. TGV, of course, meaning the global voice. And it's not quite ready for us to do recording in, but it will be shortly. All I really have to do is just add another track and probably fix things like the volume or effects so that the instruments sound good. So I'm going to load that by pressing Control O.
Control O. Open dialog.
And we'll type in D:\
TGV demo. Enter. Star Trek has used specific tubers.
Okay, let's see where I am now.
Master.
All right, for whatever reason, it's got me on the master bus. I do not want that, so I'm going to press shift down arrow.
Bus pane.
All right, I'm definitely in the bus pane here. And then we'll move back up.
Track pane.
With the shift up arrow to get to the track pane. I'm assuming that's just a JSONAR issue. We won't talk about the bus pane here, because it is beyond the scope of this introductory demo. So, let's see where we are anyway as far as tracks go.
Piano.
Right now we're on the piano track. Okay, that's a typical piano.
Four, bass.
Now you hear that I'm on track four. The other two tracks are just two audio tracks.
One, track one.
There's track one.
Two, track two.
And track two. I didn't give these a name.
Three, piano. And four, bass.
All right, now we're on the bass track. Now, one thing I noticed right away is that there is reverb on the bass, but I do not want that, so we'll take that out in a little bit, but let's see what else we've got.
Five, electric piano.
Okay, we've got an electric piano. Etc., etc. Those three instruments you just heard, the piano, bass, and the electric piano, were all from the Roland EXR3S keyboard. But the next one
SFZ1
is being used with a plugin that comes with Sonar called SFZ. It's a sound font and sample player, basically.
Six, SFZ1 primary output stereo.
And this is a primary output track. When you run soft synths or any instrument plugin really in Sonar, it will create two tracks for you. One is the primary output track. It's an audio track, but there's no audio on it. You could add audio to it, I guess, if you wanted it to do something like, let's say, on a vocoder, if you've got some lyrics that you want it to say or sing or whatever. But it's mostly used just for the synth's audio output. And then the other track that Sonar will create is a MIDI track so that you can play the instrument. And that's what we're going to down arrow to now.
Seven, pad.
And the instrument we're going to be playing with SFZ is a synth pad effect. Now, I'm assuming this is a bug with SFZ, but I've noticed something. When I load a project that uses it, and I have it pointing to a specific patch or instrument in the sound font bank, it won't play that patch right away. Rather, when I start to play anything, you'll hear instead the first patch in the sound font. In this case, it is a string section. And it's also pretty loud, too. Well, what we can do is press the space bar
playing
to start the file playing, but of course it's a blank file, so there's nothing for it to play.
W.
But now when I press a few keys, and I won't hold these down for too long, there you hear our synth pad. And it'll sound a lot better once we do some actual playing on it. But one thing we've got to do first is adjust the volume. That's very important because it does sound pretty loud. JSONAR has various commands built into it. We're not going to go all through them since this is just an introduction to how you can use Sonar to record a composition with MIDI. But there are commands that allow you to navigate to various columns on the track's strip, as it's called. You can get to these controls, such as, let's say, to adjust the volume or to arm a track or whatever, by moving to the right. And I'll just demonstrate how this works.
Manual mute equals off.
Press into the track.
Okay, there's manual mute. That means it's going to mute a track. And you can do that by pressing enter.
Manual mute equals on.
So there you hear that manual mute is now on. And then I can press enter to turn it off.
Manual mute equals off.
There you go.
Solo equals off.
That will allow us to solo a track, meaning that's the only track we'll hear.
Record equals off.
Press Enter the tag or press Applications key for options.
Just thought I'd let you hear that message in its entirety. And that's how you arm a track, etc., etc. I'm just going to move back to the
manual
name column here.
Pad, name column, press.
There we go. Well, I want to get to the volume control, and there's a couple ways I could do it. Of course, I could use the right arrow key until I get there, but the other way is by pressing Control-Shift-V twice. If I press it once,
volume 101,
you'll hear that the MIDI volume is set to 101. I don't want to adjust that, though. I want to adjust the primary output track's volume, and I can do that just by up-arrowing back to it.
6. SFZ1 primary output stereo.
That's right. And let's check the volume here.
Volume, 0 dB.
So you hear that it's at 0 dB. That's the default volume. And if I want to get to the volume column, because we're still on the name column, I can press Control-Shift-V twice.
Volume equals 0.
Use left or right bracket to change large values or shift plus numpad plus and shift plus numpad minus to change small values or press enter to edit.
Okay, there's a lot of info there, but basically it says we can use the left or right bracket keys to adjust the volume, or we could press enter and enter a value for the volume ourselves. What I'll do is I'll press the left bracket key a few times just to lower the volume a bit.
Left bracket. Volume equals minus 5.9.
Okay, I've moved it down to about minus 5.9. But I can also play the pad instrument in this case and then use the left and right bracket keys as I'm holding down some chords or just doing, you know, my usual playing. And that way we can audition the effect to determine how it's going to sound.
Left bracket. Volume equals minus 16.9.
Use left not bad. Maybe I'll go once more. Let's just see.
Left bracket. Volume equals minus 18.8.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good. And if not, I can always adjust it again. Speaking of adjusting things, I'm going to move back up to track 4.
4. Bass.
Bass track. Because I want to get that reverb issue resolved before we do some recording. So I'll move over to the right.
Velocity, PR, tranquility, minimum, maximum, strip.
I don't know if there are any keyboard commands in JSonar for moving to the reverb or chorus setting, so that's why I'm just doing this real
bank equals zero,
really quick.
Patch equal, preset that, P plus equals time plus CHR equals zero.
Use left.
Okay, we're at our chorus effect. We'll worry about that in a moment.
Rev equals zero.
Use left or right bracket to change large value.
Okay, we're going to get that message there. Now, as you hear, the reverb is set at zero, but we still have some. That is because I guess there was some when I turned the keyboard on, so all I have to do is just press the right bracket key.
Right bracket, rev equals 4.
To move it up to 4, and then the left bracket.
Left bracket, rev equals 0.
Use left.
To get it back to 0, and now we don't have any reverb. If we wanted to, though, we could enter a number.
Rev equals 0.
Use left.
And what I did there was press enter, which brought up an edit box, and it's showing 0, but I could type in something, and we can go all the way up to 127.
127.
Let's just see what that sounds like.
Enter. Track.
Okay, so here we've got a lot of reverb on that one.
Rev
so
equals 0. Enter.
We'll bring it back down to 0. There you go.
CHR equals 0.
And now we're on the chorus effect. I just moved back to the left. I think what I'll do is I'll enter a number.
CHR equals 0.
Just by pressing enter, and then I'll type in, let's try 20.
2, 0, enter.
And see how that sounds. This chorus effect kind of gives the sound a doubling effect. I don't really know how to describe it. If I were to enter, let's say, 127.
Enter.
There you can hear we've got a lot of chorus on there. And that's not quite what I want.
CHR equals 127.
So
left or right bracket to
let me bring it back down to 10.
0, enter.
And then we'll use the right bracket key to adjust it until it sounds right.
Right bracket. CHR equals 31.
Use left.
That should be good, I think. Yeah, okay. And now I want to get back to the name column. Well, instead of left arrowing all the way back over to it, I can just press Control-Shift-N twice. If I press it once,
bass.
You hear that we're on the bass track, and if I press it twice,
bass. Name column, press enter to edit or press Control plus applications to open context menu.
How about that? So we've got our tracks pretty well set up the way we want. And yes, I know I did say that there was another one I was going to add, and we'll do that in a little while. But now it's time to get into the actual recording process. And what we're going to be doing is creating a music bed for a new jingle for the Global Voice. Now, the first thing I think we should do before we do any recording is check to see if the tempo is going to be okay. One way we can do this is by listening to it with the built-in metronome. There's actually two metronomes. You have an audio one and a MIDI one. The MIDI one, by default, uses hi-hat sounds, you know, that sort of thing. And you can change that so that you have one sound for the first beat and then another sound for all beats. And that's the same thing with the audio metronome. Let's go into the metronome's properties and take a look at what we've got. We'll be using the audio metronome for this exercise, by the way. So I'll press Alt-O to bring up the options menu.
Alt-O, menu, options menu, MIDI devices, ..
And then P for project options.
P, leaving menus, project options dialog, log page, audio radio button checked.
404.
We're not going to worry about this. I think this is more for if you need to do some synchronization with other MIDI compatible products. I'll press Control Tab.
Metronome page, general, playback checkbox not checked.
To get to the metronome tab. And the first option we land on is playback. And it's a checkbox and is unchecked by default. That means that when we've recorded something and press the spacebar to start playing, we'll also hear the metronome. And I don't want that.
Tab, recording checkbox checked.
Recording is checked by default. You can uncheck that if you don't want the metronome during the recording process. That's absolutely fine.
Tab, use audio metronome radio button checked.
1 of 2.
So here we can choose if we want the audio metronome.
Use MIDI note radio button checked.
Or MIDI notes as the metronome.
Use audio metronome radio button checked.
We'll leave it on the audio metronome, though.
Tab, record count in edit, 0.
Now this determines if there is a count-in before the recording process starts. We can have it in either...
Tab, measures radio button checked.
Measures. In other words, if I were to press 1 in that edit box, we would get a 1 measure count-in, like that. And then the recording would start.
Beats radio button checked.
2 of 2.
Or we can choose to have this do it in beats.
Measures radio button checked.
1 of 2.
I haven't played with that, so I'll just leave it on measures.
Shift tab.
I'm just going to shift tab back, and I'm going to type in 1.
1.
Because I do want to have a 1 measure count in.
Tab. Measures radio buttons. Tab. First beat combo box. Ping high.
23 of 38.
Now this determines what sound is going to be played for the first beat. And you can change this. There's 38 sounds. The only thing I don't think you can do is preview what they sound like unless you either load the wave files, that's what they are, in a program like Winamp or something, or if you just select a combination of things in here, close the dialog with the OK button, and then try doing some recording or playback, whatever. So I think we'll leave these alone. Anyway, this is on ping high, that's the default.
Tab, DB edit, 0.0.
You can change the volume of the sound.
Tab, other beat combo box, ping low.
24 of 38.
And for other beats, we've got ping low.
Tab, DB edit, minus 0.5.
And it's turned down a little bit.
Tab, output combo box, M audio delta SEO analog out 1/2 delta 1.
That just determines what sound card we're going to hear the metronome out of.
Tab, metronome tab.
There's the tab control.
Tab, OK button.
And the OK button.
Space.
So I'll press the space bar on OK. Now, let's check the tempo here, and the way you do that
manual, so record equals off.
Is we right arrow over to the record column, and I'll press enter to arm the track.
Record equals on.
Press enter the toggle or press applications key for options.
That's right. And I can press R now.
R, recording.
Well, that seems a little fast for my liking. So we obviously have to slow it down. Now, one way we could do that is by going to the Insert menu with Alt-I and then pressing T for Tempo. And that will bring up the Tempo dialog, which we will do in a little bit, but we're not going to do it through the Insert menu. We'll use a JSONR command to get in there. If I press Control-Shift-T once...
Tempo equals 120.00.
It tells us the current tempo. If I press it twice...
Edit, 120.00.
It brings up an edit box where I can enter the tempo. Or if I press it three times...
Tempo dialog. Tempo edit, 120.00.
Now we're in the tempo dialog that I was talking about. And we can either type in a tempo...
Tab. Click here to tap tempo button.
Or we can tap tempo, meaning that you press enter or the spacebar on this button at the tempo that you want. So for instance, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that.
Shift tab, tempo edit, 99.00.
And it's set at 99.00 now.
Enter.
That's pretty well where I wanted, I think. Let's just check the recording again. I'm pressing W to rewind to the beginning of the track, by the way.
Are recording.
You'll hear me do that quite a bit. Yeah, that's
stopped.
Pretty good, I think.
W.
If not, we can always slow it down.
Record equals off.
That's no problem there. I just unarmed the current track for recording by pressing enter on the recording column. And I think now would be a good time to mention some more JSONAR commands. Control shift semicolon.
No armed tracks.
Tells us at the moment there are no armed tracks. If, however, I were to, let's say, enable
record equals on
the track that we are currently on and do the control shift semicolon command,
armed tracks are 4.
You hear that the armed track is 4. And if I were, let's say, to arm another track, such as
3, piano,
the piano track,
record equals on,
and do that keystroke,
armed tracks are 3 through 4.
There you go. I can also do alt shift semicolon,
unarmed all tracks,
and that unarmed all the tracks. If I were to, let's say, do that again, though, just by pressing it once.
No armed tracks. Press twice to toggle.
It says no armed tracks. Press twice to toggle. And that means when I press it twice, it will arm all the tracks in this project.
No armed all tracks.
There you go. So now we've got everything.
Armed tracks are 1 through 5, 7.
And the reason track 6 isn't armed is because that's the primary output track for the SFZ plugin. I'll just unarm everything again.
Unarmed all tracks.
With alt shift semicolon. And that's basically the way these other commands work as well. Control shift apostrophe.
No input echo enabled tracks.
Tells us that there are no input echo enabled tracks. The way this works is with audio tracks, that turns on what is known as input monitoring. So you can hear what's happening on a specific track either during or before the recording process. And an example of this would be, let's say if you've got a reverb plugin running on an audio track and you want to hear what that sounds like in real time in case you want to set it up so that it sounds good. With MIDI tracks, and I'll use the piano and synth pad tracks to demonstrate this, you can have more than one instrument play at the same time.
Input echo auto through.
So I moved over to the right, and we're on the input echo column. I just press enter.
Input echo on.
Press in.
And there we've got input echo on for that track. I'm going to move up to track 7.
2, 1, 7, pad.
There we go.
Input echo on.
And enable that. Now let's see what happens when I play something. A little bit of O Canada there for you, our national anthem. But that's how that works.
Input echo auto through.
And there might be some times where you might want that.
Input echo auto through.
So just go back to the piano track. And I've turned off the input echo for that. Control shift period.
No muted tracks.
Tells us that there are no muted tracks. And control shift slash.
No solo tracks.
Says that there are no solo tracks. Of course, if any of these were to change, such as, let's say, if I had a muted track and a solo track, I could just use those keys to figure out which ones are muted or soloed. So, now that we've got some tracks, let's do some recording. And the first thing I'm going to do is make sure that we don't have any armed tracks here.
No armed tracks.
Good. All right. So, I'm going to arm the piano track.
Record equals on.
And that will be our first one. I'll just press W to make sure I'm at the beginning of the file.
W.
There we go. And R to start recording. By the way, let me just show you what happens if I
record equals off.
Don't have any armed tracks and I press R.
R, not recording.
It says not recording. We have to actually arm the track first before we can do that.
Record equals on.
Press into the toggle or press.
Okay. And I'll press R now and let's see what happens.
R, recording.
Okay, so there's our count in. And now I can start playing any time. not quite. That wasn't exactly what I had in mind. I just did that deliberately, really, because I want to show you what happens if, let's say, you're unsatisfied with the current take. You can press Control-Z
undo.
To undo that. And later, if you change your mind, you can press Control-Shift-Z if you want to bring that back in. But the only problem is you have to do that before you record anything. Otherwise, that take will be lost.
W.
And in this case, we're going to record something else, so I'll press R.
R.
And let's see how we do here.
Stopped.
Okay, well, you heard me make a couple of mistakes, and we are going to fix those, but we can play back what we've done by pressing W to get back to the beginning of the file, and then space.
Playing.
Now, the mistake I really want to correct is the one where I went. I didn't want that. I wanted that note. So we can fix that by going into what's known as the event list, and you do that with Alt 4.
Demo.cwp event list rank 3 has used specific toolbars.
Okay, and I'm going to just move to the bottom of the file with Control End.
12 seconds, 0 frames.
That's pretty nice. It tells us how long the file is. And I'm going to press Control Page Up.
Bar 5.
That moves us by a measure.
Bar 4.
Okay, let's see if bar 4 is where we need to be.
Playing. Stopped.
Yeah, I think that's
bar 4.
About where it is. So I'm back at the beginning of bar 4, and I'm going to use Control Shift and the space bar to move the cursor along these notes until we get to where we want to be.
3, 3, 3, 3. Control
now,
Shift space.
The reason you're hearing it say 3 is because I'm currently on the track column that shows us what track we're editing. Maybe I should move over to where the notes are.
Hour, minute, second, measure, beat, tick.
So moving to the right.
Channel 4, kind, note, data, E5.
And you hear that we're on E5 for the note.
E5, G5, Control Shift space.
And there's our problem note, you might say. So we can press Enter on this.
Enter. Note edit. G5.
And it brought up an edit box where we can type in another note if we want. I'm seeing G space 5 on here, but I don't have to type in anything. Instead, I just hit it on the piano.
A5.
Like that. And now it's showing A5. Isn't that neat? So then you just press Enter.
Enter. Data.
And there we go. I'm just going to move up to bar 3.
Bar 4. Bar 3.
So we can listen to a bit more of this.
Playing.
Okay, and we've got that one problem fixed, and I'm hearing a couple of wrong notes in there still.
Bar 5.
Let's see.
Playing. Stopped.
Nope, not quite there yet.
Playing. Stopped.
Okay, I wanted... That's right, so we'll just go through and correct that real quick.
6, G4.
Alright, let's see here.
G4, B5, Control Shift Space, DBC playing. Stopped.
That should be good.
G4, Control Shift Space.
So again, I can just press Enter on this.
Enter. Note edit.
And
F4.
Change it to an F4.
Enter. F4, F5, F5.
I don't want that note, actually. I want...
Enter. Note edit. E6.
Whoops.
E5.
There we go.
Enter.
That's right, and we'll keep going.
64, hold 1. Control
Shift. Okay, now we're getting into a controller event here. It's putting in a sustained note.
64, hold 1, G4, Control Shift Space.
Or it was.
Enter, note edit.
Maybe I let go of the sustain pedal too soon or something.
C5, enter, bar 4.
That should be good enough. Let's just listen and see here.
Playing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Close document window. Demo.cwp start track.
So I've closed the event list with Control F4, and we're back in the piano track.
Record equals off.
I'll just unarm that track. And what I'm going to do here is quantize the track so that we get everything sounding pretty close to the beat, you might say.
Comma.
Selected.
Alt-P. Menu.
So what I did was I pressed the comma key to select the track, and then Alt-P to bring up the process menu, and then I can press Q.
Q. Leaving menus.
To bring up the quantize menu.
Duration edit combo. 16.
8 of 16.
Now we've got various choices here as far as the duration of the notes. We can have whole notes, eighth notes, 16th notes, triplets for each of these. In other words,
16 triplet.
You got 16th triplets.
32nd. 32nd triplet.
32nd triplets, etc., etc. And then you've got the dotted notes and things. I'll just stick with 16th notes.
Tab. Media event start times checkbox checked.
And we'll go through this dialogue here. The first thing we're on is MIDI event start times. And I'd like to have this checked.
Tab. Note durations checkbox not checked.
Note durations, I believe, is unchecked by default, and I like to leave it that way because I don't want the program to determine how long a note is held down for.
Tab. Audio snap beats checkbox checked.
Okay, that has to do with audio. We're not going to worry about that.
Tab. Audio clip start time tab. Only notes and lyrics MIDI checkbox checked.
Yep, that's right.
Tab. Strength edit, 100. Tab. Swing edit, 50.
Okay, I'm not really sure what all these do. I haven't really experimented with these.
Tab. Window edit.
I tend to just stick with the defaults.
Tab. Offset edit, 0. Tab. OK button.
And there's our OK button,
space.
So I just press the spacebar. And now, when I
W.
press the R key...
R. Not recording.
Oh, gotta arm the track again.
Record equals on.
Press enter.
Double.
Okay, and now when I press the R key...
R.
Let's listen to what this sounds like with the metronome when it's quantized.
stopped.
That's pretty good. Nice and pretty well on the beat. I know it may sound a little mechanical, but that's the way I like it.
Comma.
Unselected.
I just press the comma there to unselect the track. If I were to press Control Shift comma, by the way.
No selected tracks. From measure 1, beat 1, tick 000. Through measure 5, beat 4, tick 761.
So that basically means that if we were to have a track selected, anything that we do to it, such as quantizing, is going to affect the whole track. Later I'll show you how you can quantize just part of a track, if you want to do that.
4. Bass. Record equals off.
Okay, so here we've got the bass track, and that's currently off. I'll
record equals on.
Arm it for recording. And I think maybe I better make sure that it's the only track being recorded. You don't have to do this every time, but I'm doing this just for demo purposes, because I want to show you something.
Arm tracks are 3 through 4.
Oh, it looks like I forgot to unarm track 3. Let me show you what would happen in a case like that.
W.
So I'll start recording the bass part. Now it sounds fine right now, but you'll hear what happens when we do our playback.
R.
So there's our count in.
Stop.
Like that, okay.
W.
So now listen to what happens when I play this back.
Play. W.
Basically, we got the piano and bass being recorded at the same time. Well, I do not want that, so I'm going to undo that.
Undo. 3.
Go back up.
Record equals off.
And unarm the piano track. Okay,
4.
Now we're on the bass track, which is still armed, so I can start recording again.
R. Record.
That sounds pretty good, I think.
W. Record equals off.
We'll leave that alone for now.
5. Electric piano.
Now, the electric piano, are we going to do anything with that? I guess we could try it and see what happens.
Record equals on.
If not, we don't have to worry about it. You don't have to use everything in a project if you don't want to.
Double R. Record.
So we'll start recording. I've got it armed. And I made
Stop.
A little mistake there.
Bar 4.
I'll just back up.
Play. Stop.
Now, I don't know if you can hear it very well, so what I'll do is I'll solo this track.
Solo equals off. Solo equals on.
So,
bar five, bar
all
four.
We're going to hear now is the piano part. I move up to...
Bar 3.
Let's go to bar 3.
Playing. Stop.
Okay, we do not want... We want... like that. So I'll just go in and fix that real quick.
Bar 5. Bar 4 playing. Stop.
Like that.
5. Control 5. Con 5. 5. Control. Up. Kind. Data. Data. Enter. No edit. D5. Enter.
There we go. Oh, by the way, there's another couple of data columns here in the event list. The first one that we're on now is the notes.
Data 2. 123.
That gives us the velocity value of the note, in other words, how hard it's going to be played.
Data 3, 348.
And that's the length of the note. I think we're done here, so
window.
I'll just
bar four, bar three.
Get out of the MIDI event list, which I've already done with Control F4, and let's listen to
Playing.
What we've got now. Should be good. How about with the music?
Solo equals off.
We'll just unsolo the track, and I'll move back over to the record column.
Playing.
So that we can unarm it. That's pretty nice. Yeah, I like that. One thing I'm going to do later on is actually quantize the track, but not the whole thing, because I want that part that goes... or something like that. If you quantize that, it will probably come out something like or whatever. But we're not going to worry about that at the moment.
Record equals off.
Anyway, I'll just unarm the track.
Record
and
7.
We're going to now move down to our synth pad. Oh yeah, this is going to be good.
Record equals on.
So we'll start recording, and you can see this is starting to build up already.
R. Record.
That's pretty nice, I think.
Record equals off.
Press.
Now there's one more thing I want to add as an instrument, and that is a drum kit. There are actually various ways of getting drum sounds in Sonar. We can use a drum kit built into a MIDI keyboard. There's also some plugins that come with Sonar Producer Edition that are great for doing drum work. We can either use samples, if we have, let's say, sound fonts or SFZ sets. That's another variant on sound fonts with the SFZ player that we've been using the synth pad on. Or we could use acidized drum loops, which are wave files that have special markers in them or something that will basically keep up with you depending on what tempo you set in a compatible program such as Sonar or Acid or any of those. So as you can see, there's lots of options for doing drums, but I'm going to use a kit built into my keyboard for this demonstration.
All right, menu, insert menu.
And I'm going to do that by going to the insert menu, and I'll just move up through this so you can hear what we've got here.
Stereo bus, track folder, multiple tracks, .. MIDI track.
We can insert a MIDI track by pressing
D.
That's the hotkey.
Audio track.
Or an audio track by pressing A.
MIDI track. Enter.
So I'll insert a MIDI track.
Track 8.
And you hear that it's currently called track 8. I wanted to rename that, so I'll just press Enter.
Track 8. Name column.
And I'll type in
D-R-U-M-S. Enter.
Drums. Track 8. And now it's time to actually set up the track to be used as a drum kit. So I'll press the applications key.
Applications.
To the left or the right control key, and it brought up a little menu.
More sub widget. Track properties.
I'm moving up three times to track properties.
Enter. Leaving menu. Track properties dialog. Track 8 drums. None button.
Tracks 8, 18, 28.
Okay. Right now it's showing a button that's marked none. I'm not exactly sure what this is, so we're just going to leave that alone.
Tab. Output combo box. Del app MIDI.
104.
That's correct. This is going to go through the MIDI port on my M-Audio AudioFile 2496 card. You could change this, though, to, let's say, SFZ, or if you had another plugin loaded.
Tab. Channel combo box. None.
117.
And I'm going to go to channel 10. That's the standard MIDI channel for doing drums.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Tab. Bank headed combo. None.
102.
Now, because I'm using what's known as an instrument definition for my keyboard, the Roland EXR 3S, there's a bank that I can go to that has all the drum kits.
Two Roland DXR 357 drumsticks.
There you go.
Tab. Button.
Okay, we're going to leave that alone. I don't know what that does.
Tab. Bank select method combo box. Controller 0.
204.
And for whatever reason, it wants to put this on controller 0. I don't know what that does, but I just move up.
Normal.
To normal.
Tab. Patch edit combo. None.
129.
And we can now access our drum kits.
Standard 1.
The first one that we're on is standard 1. And because of the way this is set up, I have to play everything at the extreme left-hand side of the keyboard. Yeah, something like that. What I'm going to do, though, is change the octave.
Tab. P plus edit.
So that we can start a little ways up.
Dash. 1, 2.
So I just press tab, and we're in a box that says key, and I've typed in minus 12, meaning it's going to move down an octave.
Shift tab, patch edit comp.
And the advantage of this is that now I just move up to the next octave on the keyboard, and then if I were to go down, you hear that we've got some more drum sounds. Nice. This is the kit that we're going to use for this demo, but just to show you what else we've got.
Six, set room.
We've got a room kit here. Okay, so there's that kit.
Hip-hop, drum BSS.
Got a drum and bass kit. Something like that.
Tech House, 12.
Tech House.
All right, 4, 15, power, 17, 8, 9, 20, 21, 22, 20, electric.
The reason you're hearing those numbers is because that means there aren't any kits on those positions. But we're at one here, electric. Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite kits, I must admit.
TR-800 and DX-909.
So is this one as well. Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool. And of course, you do have all your percussion and everything. Or if I were to go back up to our kit that we're going to use, the standard one kit. So there you go. We've got all these percussion stuff. And we're done here, so I'll just press Enter.
Enter. demo.cwp.
And there's our drum kit.
So record equals off.
So we are back on the recording column.
No arm tracks.
Good. Just wanted to verify we don't have any tracks.
Record equals on.
Armed. We do now, though. And it's time to record our drum part.
W. R. Recording. Stopped.
Oh, that didn't quite come out the way I wanted, so I'll just redo that once more.
Stopped.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Record equals off.
So I'm just going to turn off the recording for that. And I'm actually going to quantize this track here first, and then we'll do the electric piano. But I'm going to quantize the whole thing just so you can hear what can happen.
Comma.
Selected.
Alt P. MQ. Leaving. Enter. Demo.cwp.
Okay, so I just quickly
comma.
Unselected.
Did that.
Double.
Now listen to what we've got.
Playing.
Okay, that's not too bad, but what I didn't like was the fact that my little drum roll part there was changed to sound more like or something like that. In fact, we can solo the track.
Solo equal. Bar 6. Bar 4.
Move back
four.
Up to bar 3.
Playing.
Okay, that's sounding good. There. You hear that part there. I didn't want that. I want. So,
solo equal.
Can we fix that? Yeah, we just have to undo the quantization.
Undo.
With Control Z. And I'm going to quantize two parts of this file. We'll start at the. And I better make sure that this is unselected.
Selected tracks, right.
Ah, okay.
Comma.
Unselected.
There we go, I just hit the comma key. For whatever reason, I found that the operation I'm about to do occasionally won't happen if a track is already selected. I don't know why, but that's just the way it works. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make a selection point from the beginning of the file up to where the drum roll starts. So to do that, I press F9.
Set from to now. From measure 1.
To put a from to now marker in there. And I'll move down to
bar 4.
Play.
Stopped.
And I've stopped it just before the drum roll part. That thing there. So now I'm going to press
set through to now.
F10 to put a through to now marker in there.
Comma.
Selected.
I can select the track.
Alt P.
With
menu,
comma.
Q,
and do the quantization.
Enter. Demo that. Comma.
And there we go. So now we get we get this.
Play.
Okay, so I want to get the rest of the
bar 5.
Track quantize. So I'm going to move back up to bar 4, and we'll stop it right after the last part of the drum roll.
Play. Stopped.
Like that. And now I can do our F9, F10 thing. So I press F9 here.
Set from to now. From measure 4, beat 4, pick 775.
That's right. And then I'll just press Control End to
12 seconds.
Go to the bottom of the file, and then F10.
Set through to now. Through measure 6, beat 1. Comma.
Selected.
Select the track with
Alt
comma
two,
and do our quantizing.
Enter.
So in other words, we're going to quantize from where the cursor was to the end of the file. And now I can
W.
Press W and then the spacebar
playing
to start playing again. There you go.
W.
There's our drum track. Now I'm going to go back up
7
to
5 4 5 electric piano.
The electric piano, and I'm going to do basically the same thing as far as quantizing goes, only I'm going to just do it after the part that goes something like that and let it quantize from there to the end of the file.
Play.
So we'll just get it to play.
Stop.
Like that.
Set root now. 12 seconds. Set root now. Through measure 6, the comma.
Select.
Alt Q. Leaving. Enter.
Quick here.
Demo. Comma.
Unstop.
Okay, now let's see what we got.
Playing.
Mm-hmm. good, I think.
4. Bass. Record equals off.
And, what about the bass? Maybe we should do that as well while we're doing the quantizing thing. That's pretty well the way I do things here anyway. And while I'm thinking about it, how about we do a little mixing? In other words, adjusting volumes and whatnot.
3. Input archive automation volume equals 101.
Yeah, I could have used the JSONAR command to go to the volume column, but this is okay. I'm currently on
piano.
The piano track, and I'm going to bring it up just by pressing enter.
Volume equals 101.
And I'm going to type in 115.
115. Enter. Track pain.
There we go. And let's see.
4. Bass. Volume equals 101.
Oh, the bass is at 101. I think that should be brought up to 127.
127. Enter. Track pain.
And
5. Electric piano. Volume equals 101.
What about the electric piano? Volume. How about we put you at
110.
110.
Double.
Let's try that and see what that sounds like.
Playing.
At the moment, that sounds pretty good to me, but later on, while I'm working on the final version of the jingle, in other words, adding the vocals and whatnot, I might do some more mastering on the music, just to bring things up or turn things down or whatever. But in general, that's how you create a MIDI track. And one thing that's very important to do, regardless of what program you're using, is to save your work. And that's what I'm going to do now.
Alt F,
just
menu.
By going to the File menu and then choosing Save As.
A. Leaving menus. Save as dialog. Has used specific tool.
Oh, yeah, okay. And right now we have a file
demo.cwp0i
called tgvdemo.cwp, and I'm going to
tgvdemo, period.
Just go to the end of that, and I'm going to put in a dash and b.
B.
Dot cwp, and that is a normal cakewalk file. There's various things you can save this as. There's a bundle file where if you've got both audio and MIDI, it will save everything in one file, which really comes in handy, I must admit, because if you, let's say, want to share a project with another Sonar user, you can do that. You can just save it as a bundle and they can load it in. It'll set up all the MIDI and audio tracks. And assuming they've got the same plugins you have, they'll be able to, let's say, do some collaborative work with you. So I'm just going to press enter to save this.
Enter. Demo.cwp track.
And there we go. And thanks to the marvels of digital audio technology, I have returned a day later. I've just finished the final version of the jingle by doing some remastering and adding the vocals and whatnot. And now I'd like to present to you a brand new jingle for the Global Voice. Here it is. And all that was composed and produced using Sonar 8.5 Producer Edition from Cakewalk at www.cakewalk.com in conjunction with JSonar, the set of free JAWS scripts for using Sonar from www.jsonar.org. If you have any comments or suggestions about anything you've heard in this presentation, you can contact me through my personal website at www.ksapergia.net. That's KSAPERGIA.net. For Innovations and the Global Voice, I'm Kelly Sapergia.